to a gathering and just sees a few people, well, he just says to himself or she says to herself, these folks haven't got too much to offer. But if we are with it and trying to give it all we've got, then this encourages strangers. Well, they really are a very active people, and then they take it from there. So it's very important to feel a responsibility in any kind of meeting. And I urge you tonight in our final meeting in this series to try and come out and bring your friends with you. Now, I'm going to read four scriptures, first of all, in the Gospel by Luke. Matthew, Mark, then Luke. Luke chapter 23. 2:3. I'm going to read it in verse 33. Luke 23:33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Now back again, please, to the Philippians chapter 2. This verse was read this morning, but God's word is always very profitable to read time and time again. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now back again to the Gospels, the Gospel by John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, then John. John's Gospel, chapter 12. And verse 32:32. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Then the final scripture is in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading or readings from his precious word. Now, my subject this evening, or rather this morning, is the cross work of Christ. The cross of Christ. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, we find that they brought him to the place called Calvary. Here we have the place of the cross. Then we read in Philippians chapter 2, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is the pain of the cross. Then John chapter 12, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. Here is the power of the cross. And finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, we have the preaching of the cross. Now, the most significant place in all the universe is the place called Calvary. Men love to associate themselves with a great place. I repeat, the most significant place in the universe is not York, Pennsylvania, or is it Washington, or Ottawa in Canada, London, England, Moscow in the USSR, or Peking in China, but the most significant place in all the universe is that small place outside the city of Jerusalem called the place Calvary. And this place is so important that God has given us tremendous coverage in the Word of God regarding Calvary. First of all, it is a central place in relation to geography. It's a central place in relation to geography. When God speaks about north, south, east, and west, He doesn't use Greenwich Mean Time or East Pacific Center that man has adopted, but when God speaks about north, He speaks about north from Calvary. When He speaks about south, He doesn't speak about South America as from Panama. He speaks about south from Calvary. When He speaks about east, He speaks about east from Calvary, and likewise the west. In all the universe, God looks down upon this place, and to Him it is the most significant. I mentioned the other night concerning Napoleon. Prior to the Battle of Waterloo, he gathered Marshal Ney and some of his generals around him, and he took his finger and he placed it on the British Isles that was marked red on the map, and he said, apart from that red spot, I would have conquered this entire universe. Now today, Satan can put his finger on bloodstained Calvary, that red mount, and could see apart from that red spot, I would have conquered everything. So this is a very significant place in relation to geography. It is also the central place in relation to history. Our calendar tells us that we are totally involved with the person of Christ. It is either B.C. or A.D., before Christ or Anno Domini A.D. Every time you look at your calendar, you should have in mind Calvary and the man who hung there upon the center cross. It is in relation to geography and it is in relation to history. But also this place called Calvary is the central place in relation to prophecy. We could not take time this morning to enumerate some of the outstanding prophecies that were made in the Word of God in relation to Calvary. But the very first time that Calvary was referred to or inferred was in the first book of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 9, we are the first inference by God through the pen of Moses to this place called Calvary. While we dear there, let the waters be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. Now that is the first picture of Calvary, when God brought all the waters of judgment into one place, and place all that judgment upon His only well-beloved Son. He took all the sins of every individual in every dispensation, in every continent, from every town and every house. And God took all those sins and He brought them to the place called Calvary. And God punished His Son. And you and I who accept that death, we stand on dry land. We stand on a solid foundation. We stand on redemption ground. As Jonah was sailing along in his God-constructed submarine, remember he cried, "Salvation is of the Lord." And immediately that whale had an intestinal disorder. And out went Jonah, and Jonah landed on dry ground. That's exactly what took place at Calvary. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, the Lord Jesus was 3 days and three nights in the bowels of the earth, facing Satan And now you and I appear on dry ground. It's the central place in relation to prophecy. And we could go down the line, remember Genesis chapter 22, Abraham and Isaac going up Mount Moriah. It was indicative of Calvary. Very early in the morning, that must endorse the exercise of the worship of God's people. As long as it is possible, we should remember him in the morning. Very early in the morning, they arose and he said to the young men, "Abide ye here with the asses and I, and the lad will go yonder and worship." The first exercise of the day should be on the Lord's Day to worship the living and the true God. But it pointed forward to Calvary. And I'm sure there is already running through your mind some of the great prophecies regarding Calvary. But surely the greatest must be, in the eyes of most of us, Isaiah chapter 53. There the Lord Jesus brought before us in all his acceptability. And this place called Calvary is not only the central place in relation to geography, in relation to history, in relation to prophecy, but it is a central place in relation to eternity. Just think for a moment. That great event, in the eyes of God, divides eternity. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and thou hast been slain, is the language of the Revelation. So God divides eternity by that great event called Calvary. The president remarked, when the astronauts Neil Armstrong and his crew returned from their very successful flight to the moon, that this has been the greatest event since the creation of the world. Well, I have to differ with the president. I believe the greatest event that ever happened was Calvary. All God's purposes were secured and are being fulfilled because of the success of Calvary. So we have the place of the cross. Then secondly, we have the power, or rather the pain, of the cross. The Lord Jesus became obedient unto death. And I'm sure the apostle, with great pride in his heart, penned by guidance of the Spirit of God, even the death of the cross. These Philippians were priding themselves in the fact that they belonged to the Roman Empire. Philippi was an outpost of that great Roman colony, that great empire. And they, as being Roman citizens, would never be subjected to such a death. The death of the cross, no Roman citizen could ever die such an ignominious, shameful death. This was reserved for insurrectionists and for thieves and murderers and robbers. And so I'm sure Paul's heart was moved with deep appreciation as he penned even the death of a cross. Such was the shame that was heaped upon God's beloved Son. Now, friends, that pain was both physical, it was mental, and it was spiritual. We pass through sometimes areas of great pain. Some of God's beloved people seem always to be constantly in pain. I've known very little of pain in my day, but some are subject always continually to pain. But none of us ever endure pain like Christ. He would say, "Look at my bones," as we were reminded this morning. Every one of his bones was staring back at him. Every one of his bones were out of joint. Now, I've had a broken leg, but I've never had every bone in my body out of joint, and neither have you. And yet, our suffering Savior, every bone in his body was out of joint, and they were staring back at him in his physical pain. There are my bones. Now he says, look at my heart. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Most of us have had pains in our heart. I'm not talking now about physical pain. Most of us have passed through an area of difficulty and distress, and we felt the pain. But here was one, and he says, my heart is like wax. He died of a broken heart, as the fiery indignation of God made him the target, as that sword made his heart the scabbard. It was like wax melting in the midst of his bowels. Now he says, look at my strength. No one possessed powers of strength like Christ. There are men today and they finally reach a contest and they are the leader of a contest and they're called Mr. Universe. And every muscle in their body and fiber has been developed through exercise. But no one ever had strength like Christ. He was God's perfect man. But upon Calvary, as he endured the cross, my strength is dried up like a potsherd. And as he carried that cross, he became so weak that his very legs buckled underneath it. And no man, physical man, could ever have passed through what Christ passed through. Beaten, tormented, all through the night, the subject for the target of the onslaught of soldiers. And here is climbing Mount Moriah, Mount Calvary, same place. And he compelled the Cyrenian, the black man, to carry his cross. And that was the greatest moment in his experience, because he became a convert of Christ. My strength is dried up like a butcher. And he says, thou, God, hast brought me into the dust of death. His sufferings were physical. His sufferings were mental. You and I could never measure the sensitivity of divine persons. And you and I will never know what it cost the Lord Jesus to be totally abandoned by his God. If we have a very close friend and something comes along and there is estrangement brought in, we are separated from our dear friend by some miscalculation or some other thing, why we feel the pang in our heart that our close friend is now a little estranged. Earthly friends may sometimes leave us, we sometimes say, one day soothe, the next day grieve us. But this friend will ne'er deceive us. Oh, how he loves. We feel the pangs of separation. Well, we just can think a little as to what it cost the Lord Jesus to be separated from his God. No wonder we say, oh, cross of Christ, oh, glorious place. What place can be compared with thee? But God's own Son ransomed died, and for my sin was crucified. Mental agony. And then there was spiritual anguish. Our Savior passed through the darkness, into the depths of degradation, and no one could measure the distance as the Savior went down into the domain of death. He went down into depths that cannot be plumbed. in his suffering for you and me. Here he is, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and we find him in a prison. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? Think of a world of life and glory incarcerated behind bars. One who uses the clouds as his chariot. And he's behind bars. A prisoner because of you and me. Through the darkness, he'll call himself the light of the world. He's sunk in the darkness. He's sunk in deep mire where there was no standing. There was a degradation and there was a distance. Cut off out of the land of the living. Smitten of God and afflicted. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, and we could go on and on. Oh, friends, we thank God for the man who suffered and bled and died. Oh, well might you someday sing, Calvary, oh Calvary, mercies vast and fathomsea, love eternal, love to me, Saviour, we adore thee. The place of the cross and the pain of the cross. But then in John chapter 12, we have the power of the cross. Our Saviour said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Men there is in italics, it's not in the original language. If I be lifted up, I will draw all unto myself. I believe that the angelic host has a fresh appreciation of Christ because of Calvary. For eternal ages, or rather from the day they were created by God, we just do not know the specific time, but from the moment they were created, they have been showing their obeisance and they have been worshipping Christ. But I'm convinced in my own soul that they have a greater appreciation, greater wonderment, as they look at a man in the glory who possesses and retains in his body the scars, the marks of Calvary. I will draw all unto myself. And one day the fair creation, that today is distorted because of sin. Floods, tornadoes, volcanoes, all indicative that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. But one day when Christ comes in all his glory, he will emancipate even creation, and that creation will rise in salute to our adorable Lord. The leopard shall lie down with the lamb, the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. There's a great day coming when even all things will give Christ his glory. If I be lifted up, I will draw all unto me. But it's wonderful when men are drawn to Christ. And we thank God that this has been our experience in these days of meetings and in past meetings, to see the power of the cross. Because of a suffering Savior. But men begin to realize that Christ died as a substitute for them, then they experience and we see the power of the cross. Now the Lord Jesus will draw all to himself without distinction and without exception. And so we are not really amazed, and yet we are, when we see the power of Christ changing lives who have been involved in sin, who have walked a course away from God and become involved in all kinds of things. Why? He has the power, as we sung this morning, he has the power to liberate the captive. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. And sometimes you say, my chains are snapped. The bonds of sin are broken and I am free. All because of the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as I look abroad in some of the countries that I have been in, and I thank God day by day that I can pinpoint certain areas, see drug addicts, drunkards, gamblers, jailbirds, all brought to Christ. It's all the evidence of the power of the cross. And as I stand here today, this to me is overwhelming, that the very fact that I am here a spokesman for God tells me something of the power of the cross. That he can take up a sinner such as me and be saved by his precious blood, put into the ministry, is something I can never understand, but I should appreciate it. The kindness and the goodness of God. The power of the cross. Now we must hasten to conclude. The children have been behaving well, and we just don't want to prolong anything this morning. But we have seen the place of the cross. We have seen the pain of the cross and the power of the cross. Finally, we have the preaching of the cross. Now this week and this coming week particularly, this Lord's Day and next weekend, why even Christendom makes a great ado about the cross? And they'll display it on their necks or on their jackets. They'll put it on their church buildings. And they make a lot of noise about the cross. But you will indeed find the same people invariably who make much of this specific coming Easter weekend. You talk to them about the preaching of the cross, and you'll find a different response. Oh, they're happy to display the cross, and they'll sing about the old rugged cross. But if you mention the preaching of the cross, then up gets their back. What is the preaching of the cross? The preaching of the cross is man's sin and the sinner as being absolutely repugnant in the nostrils of a holy God. They don't want to hear about the preaching of the cross. It speaks about man's utter ruin and degradation, and it speaks about the sinlessness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why, says Paul, we always come back to God's word. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Only they wear the cross, and they'll put it on their buildings. But the preaching of the cross to them is foolishness. But to us which believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, every gospel meeting has a threefold sequence. And there are three things which are the outcome of the preaching of the cross. It causes derision, it creates division, and it calls for a decision. Do you get the picture? It causes derision, it creates division, and it calls for a decision. Why the rulers, they said, look at him, he says he's a king. And he derided the Christ of God, spat in his face. They mocked him. Derision. Men haven't changed. He is present tense, says Isaiah, he is despised and rejected of men. Things haven't changed. Derision. And it creates division. At Calvary, there was a great divide. One thief was converted, the other was not converted. One thief went to heaven, the other went to hell. And this meeting is divided. Every meeting is divided. There are those that accept, and there are those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ. But this meeting and every meeting also calls for a decision. We are either like Agrippa, thou almost persuadest me to become a Christian, or like Felix, some more convenient day I'll call on thee, or like a black man from Ethiopia, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So there will be a sequel to this meeting. So we thank God for Calvary's cross. Shall we pray? Father, we do pray today that someone will make the right decision, that they will come, acknowledge that they are sinners in God's sight on the supremacy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we pray that you'll bless thy word to the salvation of precious souls. Kindly remember us this afternoon on the air and also in the final gospel meeting. Do give us a real good time around thy word. And do bless for Christ's sake. Amen.